The Italian province of Calabria forms the toe of the country's geographical boot. It's Italy's poorest and most backward region. For many people, Calabria is synonymous with the local version of the mafia known as 'Ndrangheta, the most secretive and impenetrable of criminal organizations. NPR's Sylvia Poggioli visited Calabria and has this report.
High, rugged mountains form Calabria's vertical spine. The coastlines have some of the longest beaches in the Mediterranean. Calabria is lush. Palm, bergamot, and hibiscus trees along the coast, giant olive trees, beech, fir, and oak on the mountain slopes. But mention Calabria to most Italians, and they will visibly shudder. In the 18th century, the Calabrian mountains were ideal hideouts for bandits. In the late 20th century, they were the headquarters of a multi-million dollar kidnapping business. A visit to a music stand in a bustling marketplace shows that the outlaw as hero is still part of Calabrian folklore. This cassette is called Cosa Nostra. The subtitle reads, more or less, "With money and friends, you can screw the law." It's just one of many mafia music cassettes here that sell briskly, but an attempt to interview buyers proves useless. Calabrians are taciturn, reserved, and not warm with outsiders. Diego Pizzimenti is the son of a shepherd. He says his grandfather remembers when the only officials present in Calabria were policemen and military officials.
Centuries of dire poverty and brutal oppression by foreign rulers and greedy land barons instilled in the Calabrian people a seditious instinct for self-defense.
Millions chose to emigrate. Many of those who stayed lived outside the rule of law. And many still do. A Calabrian welcomes me into his home. He admits he's an underworld boss who wants to talk, but not into a microphone and on the condition that his name and hometown are not revealed. Let's call him Antonio. He's about 40, lives modestly with his wife and four children in a low-cost housing block surrounded by vineyards. There's a painting of the Madonna, a CD player near the TV set, and lots of toys on the floor. I'm wondering why Antonio is willing to open up to an outsider when I realize this is a mafioso with angst. Antonio has a nostalgia for an age when men of respect adhered to the 'Ndrangheta's strict code of ethics. He tells us about the language of the honorable society. It's called serpentina, meaning twisted and difficult for outsiders to understand. And he describes the tattoos, which must be made while serving time in prison, as a rite of passage. Antonio claims he's never killed anyone, but he did spend 8 years in jail and 2 in internal exile in northern Italy as an accomplice to murder. Antonio's main activity is extortion, which he considers a totally legitimate business. His wife, let's call her Assunta, insists he'll have nothing to do with drug dealing. They say the new mafia is also heavily involved in money laundering, political influence, arms trafficking, and illegal disposal of radioactive and hazardous waste. Antonio is disdainful toward the new mobster generation, which he says is obsessed with material wealth and ostentatious consumption. Although he doesn't say this, it seems Antonio has been pushed to the sidelines of the new 'Ndrangheta power structure. Antonio recalls his 2 years in northern Italy wistfully. He admits he feels trapped here in Calabria and pines for what he calls a normal job in the north, where he says people have much more freedom and dignity. He claims he has to stay here because 5 mafia families depend on him for their welfare. As I leave, the couple is worrying out loud about their 20-year-old son. Antonio is still hopeful his son will move north to look for a job. But Assunta sadly shakes her head. She fears the cycle cannot be easily broken, and that her son will inevitably follow in his father's footsteps. Sylvia Poggioli, NPR News, somewhere in Calabria.